ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because your word says the entrance of your word gives light. And so this evening, Jehovah God, as we stay at your feet, Lord God Almighty, we ask that your light will shine upon our hearts in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for illumination. We ask for understanding. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you open up our comprehension. And thank you, Lord God Almighty, because, Lord God Almighty, you will speak to your people, O God, through me this evening. You will grant me utterance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening once again, both online and on site. Hallelujah. I like the scripture that Ola quoted before Luke 24:45 says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So it's possible for us to have been listening and hearing the scriptures and for us not to understand, for us not to comprehend. But here it says that he opened their understanding. Somewhere in that place too, it says their eyes were opened. So it's possible for you to, for the eyes to be like this and you cannot see. It's possible. But I pray that this evening God will open our eyes of understanding in Jesus' name. Okay, so we have been talking faith for the past 2 Wednesdays, and we're going to talk faith. We're going to flog it seriously. Hallelujah. Because it is necessary. I'm talking fundamentals of faith this evening, and I'm going to start from Hebrews 6 and verse 1. I read from the NLT. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. NLT translation. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. But in this season, we have to go over those basic teachings. It says, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. I'm reading this so that you know that faith in God is one of the fundamentals of being a Christian. And it's something that you cannot do away with. It's something that you have to go back, you know. It's like you learn ABC. You can't say because you are now a PhD holder, you don't need ABC again. Or you have become a professor, so you don't need ABC. So whatever level that you are in or you are at, you need to, you know, sometimes just go over the basics. And faith in God is one of the basics. Is one of the basics. Okay? Hebrews 11. The chapter on faith. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verse 6. I'm reading verse 6. Now I go back to NKJV. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sometime last year, the scripture just, it was just with me for a couple of weeks, and maybe like a month or thereabout. And the emphasis, I think what the Holy Spirit was just, drawing my attention to, is that he who comes to God must believe that he is. A lot of us, of course, we are believers. Oh, is there an unbeliever? Somebody that is not born again. But we get lost. We get lost in the day-to-day running around and all of that. So there's a tendency for us to be an unbelieving believer. Am I right? Or you think it's not possible? So there's a tendency for us to become, even though we're believers, to become unbelievers, unbelieving believers. Because life has dealt us some blues, here and there. And maybe we think we believe, and what we believe for did not come to pass. And so we are saying, okay. Yeah, we believe, but, So he who comes to God must believe that he is. It's very important. He is. He is. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man. He doesn't change his mind. He's not like you that you want to go out and then you go out and see that it looks like it's too sunny. Say, I would reschedule. You call the person. I think I would, let's take a rain check. No, that's not God. He's not a man. He's not moved by, I feel good, I don't feel good. How many of you are moved by your feelings? And if you don't raise up your hand, we will cast the devil out of you this evening. Because we are so moved by what we feel, how we feel. I don't feel like. How many I don't feel like, sir? I don't feel like. You hear that all the time. I don't feel like. We are always not feeling like. Even if when the word says it is contrary to that, you say you don't feel like. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling you. I'm not feeling. Everything is about feeling. God will deliver us from feeling. So God is not a man. God is not a man. Psalm 100. I'm laying foundation. Psalm 100 and verse 3. Say, God, he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It says, the psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. He is God. And sometimes we need to bring ourselves back to that place. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is not angry with you. Some people think he's angry with them. No, he's not angry with you. He's not looking for ways to punish you. No, he's not. He is God. He is love. Say, know that the Lord, he is God. Malachi 3:6. I'm laying emphasis because I just feel God wants us to, do that before we go into the fundamentals. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. It says, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Because if he changes really, all of us would have been, we will be goners, like they say. Abi, you have not done something wrong today. Who has not done something wrong today? You are sparkling, clean. Yeah? You are clean like that. Sparkling. So he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. Okay, so God is. God is. And I want you to, you know, have that as you go through the remaining days of the week. Let that ring in your heart. God is. God is. God is. He's just God. You can't take away from him. You cannot add to him. He is God. He is not like you and I. He is God. Okay, so the fundamentals or the basics, like we say, never change. ABC is ABC. You can't say, like I said, because you have become a professor, I don't need ABC again. Say, no, I've become a professor, so my own, I will bring my own, form my, as professor concerned, I'll form the way I'm going to start to speak. My own alphabet will change. No. The fundamentals don't change. Bible says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, forever. So, we have talked about what faith is. Pastor has told us what faith is not. Faith is a common spiritual force. It's a common spiritual force. It's common because whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, faith is faith. It is not the prerogative of born-again believers. You know, we like to arrogate some importance to ourselves. Say, this one is, it belongs to. No. Faith is a common, it is this common spiritual force. Meaning that if an unbeliever has faith, whatever the unbeliever is asking for will come to pass. Doesn't matter. Whether you are in Alaska, or whether you are in the North Pole, or whether you are in the desert, faith is a common spiritual force. It's a common spiritual force. It applies to everybody. It's like the laws of physics or whatever, you know, law of gravity. If you jump up, you will come down. So faith is that common. So there's no, you know, we think there's some serious matters about faith. Faith learns something. You know, there has to be some deep insight into faith. Faith is a common spiritual law. It applies to whosoever, and we'll see that later. It applies to whosoever. And it's a powerful force. It's a powerful force. You can't see it. It's not tangible, but it's a force. It's a force that you cannot do without. Hallelujah. So let's see, what are these fundamentals of faith? And we go to the scripture that Kenneth Hagin wrote. How many of us know that scripture that Kenneth Hagin wrote in the Bible? How many of us know it? Mark 11, fantastic. Kenneth Hagin wrote that scripture. Okay, Mark 11 from verse 22. I read to 25. So it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Pastor has said, that. We've talked about that. But I'm going to, says have faith in God. Some translation says, have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? What's the God kind of faith? Romans 4:17. Is the God kind of faith? Romans 4:17. Was talking to Abraham. We're talking about Abraham here. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's a God kind of faith. That's God kind of faith. He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. As though they did. That's a God kind of faith. That's a God kind of faith. So it says, have faith in God. Let's go back to Mark 11. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Okay. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I said that faith is a common spiritual force. It's common because it applies to everybody, believer, unbeliever. And you can see here, it says whoever. I think AJV says whosoever. Whosoever can be an unbeliever. Whosoever can be a believer. So it really doesn't matter. And don't forget that here, when Jesus was on ground, he had not, the works of redemption had not been done. So he was talking to Puruntu, like, you know, what they call Puruntu. All of them were on the same. They were just still following him. There was no born again person then when he was talking about this. Hallelujah. So it says, whosoever or whoever says to this mountain. And I'm thinking, why did he use mountain? Because, you know, some of us are fantastic. Mountain cannot be hidden now. Mountain is really big. If he had said, you know, because some people say now, if you have some place, he said mustard seed, some people say, ah, that's small. But he said mountain, so that you can't say, no, this one does not qualify. This one does not qualify. So he said mountain. Because that mountain, if a mountain is standing somewhere, would you say you have not seen it? Would you say you can't see it? You can't find it? Is it possible for a mountain to be somewhere and then somebody says, I didn't see the mountain. I didn't see it though. It's not possible. So he says mountain. Because sometimes what is before us is they are like mountains. He says you can tell the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Can you imagine a mountain being moved by you just saying something? A mountain being moved by you just saying, mountain. There's this song we sing, mountain, you got to move. I speak right now in the name of Jesus. I've made up my mind. I'm going. No, that's not this one. This one's a mountain, you've got to move. Fumi is not in the house. It says, mountain, you've got to move. I speak right now in the name of Jesus. I've made up my mind. I'm going through this mountain. So there's a song like that. So, you know, it says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So the first fundamental of faith is that you must believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. That's fundamental one. You must believe it in your heart and say, it's not believe in your heart only. It must come out of your mouth. It must come out of your mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. It says, we also believe and therefore speak. If you believe, you will speak. If you believe, you will speak. So the first fundamental of faith is that you must believe in your heart. And that believing must push you to say something. You can't say you believe and you are mute. No. It says, we also believe and therefore we speak. Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. It says, and with the mouth confession is made unto. So it is a coin. It is two sides of a coin. You can't do one without the other. You can't say, how many, you know how you do a coin? Have you seen a coin that the other side is blank? Have you seen that kind of coin? And there has to be something on the back of the coin. So it is the two sides of a coin. You believe. If you believe, you will say it.
You cannot say you believe and not say. You don't believe yet. Or you don't believe enough. Or you are not sure of what you believe. A lot of times that happens. You are not so sure. So you don't want to talk. So that somebody will not say, Or sometimes your believing is still forming. So you don't want somebody to come and spoil your testimony, so you keep quiet. You don't believe enough yet. You are not too sure yet. Your believing is not grounded enough yet. But if you believe, you will speak. You will speak. You will speak. So, first fundamental, believe it in your heart. And look at what it says here. It says, I say to you, verily, verily, like KJV says, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, see this one even talking, it's talking saying before believing. Because it says, be removed and be cast into, and does not doubt in his heart. So when you are saying in your heart, you are not saying, will he go, will he not go, will he go, will he not go? Let's just say it, sha, and see. You will not see anything. You will not see anything. So you must believe in your heart and you must say it with your mouth. You must say it with your mouth. And that saying is where a lot of us have a problem. Because again, like I said, it's two sides of a coin. And most times, you know, we do these things. We say, I believe. Like that man that had a son. And they brought the son to Jesus. And the disciples were not able to cast the devil out. And, you know, he was saying, please help us. And Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible. I believe. Help my own belief. So a lot of us most times are in that, I believe, help my own belief state. So because of that, you are not bold, you know, we're not bold to say something. But it's important that our heart is filled with faith. It's so important that our heart is filled with faith. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Matthew 12. Let's look at what Matthew 12 says. Let's look at what it says. Matthew 12 from verse 34. It says, just go along with me. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Continue. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Continue. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. 37. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart is not filled with that faith, it is not possible for your mouth to speak it. It is not possible for your mouth to speak it. And you know, this is something that we kind of like don't take so seriously, our words. You know, we just talk. Do you have people say talk is cheap? Hey, talk is cheap now because we have made it cheap. Pardon? It depends on who is talking. Okay. But they say talk is cheap because we have made it cheap. And you know, the enemy has robbed us in that area because we do not understand that words are powerful. Words are spiritual tools. They're not just open your mouth and say something because you want to say something. Words are spiritual tools. They release power. Words are not essentially for communication. Yes, we communicate with words. But words are powerful. The spiritual tool. It's not just for you to, you know, just to, like I said, we do that a lot. Even as believers, we just say all sorts of things. But if you're going to be a strong Christian, you have to understand that you cannot just speak. You have to understand that your words are powerful. And somebody is saying, we're talking faith. What are we? Why did we get into words? Because what is in your heart is what you will speak out. What is in your heart is what you will say. Have you seen, like they say, if that this verse of scripture is also in Luke, is you cannot grow an apple tree and then expect mango on top of the apple tree. Is it possible? No. So, what is in our heart is what we will speak out. It's a spiritual law. It can't be changed. It can't be changed. And so that's why a lot of times we struggle with doubt, because we're not sure. Somebody came to give testimony. Said, God is good. God is great. Pastor said something on this day, said we should sow a seed. And la, 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 la. I sow a seed. And then the next day, miracles just happened. Somebody is sitting in that place and saying, We quote it now. The spirit of Jesus, the spirit of... the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So he said, so when somebody tells their testimony, my own too can come. You did not go back to go and fill your heart with faith, to go and get your own rema. You say, because Brother Lagbaja gave 10,000 and got 1 million, me, I will give 100,000. Do we not play chess like that? Transaction. But God doesn't work that way. That person's testimony is maybe just spur you on, but you should go back home and go and build yourself, you know, up on that faith. So your words are not primarily for communication, like I said, they are spiritual tools. So that is why he's saying here, if you say to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, you are saying to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. It's the same words that you normally would say to this mountain. But because we have filled our mouths with all sorts, a lot of us don't even believe our words will come to pass. It's just to say. Is that possible? Abi? It's just to open my mouth and say, I'll say it now. So, like I said, the devil has robbed us of that, because your words are powerful. Hebrews 11:3 says, let's look at Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by just words. By just words. And the same thing applies to us. Your world can be framed by your words. In fact, your world should be framed by your words. But what are you saying? What are you saying? What are we saying? So, our words are spiritual tools. They release power. They are not just, you know, just talk for the sake of talk. Talk, just talk, anyhow. Be careful what you say with your mouth, because words are powerful. Words are powerful. So, we're still looking at Mark 11:23. I read it again. It says, for verily I say to you, don't mind me, assuredly this one says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and I want you to count something with me. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So saying there is like three or so. Let's count it. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, say is one, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, number two, will be done. He will have whatever he says, number three. And believing is only one. So your saying must be, you must say it until you see it. You keep saying it until it becomes flesh, like we say, until it becomes flesh, until it is tangible, until it's tangible, until it can be touched. You keep saying it until you can touch it until you can see it. And please, okay, don't let me jump ahead of myself. You keep saying it. You keep saying it until you see it, until it becomes flesh, until it is made manifest. You believe. Don't forget the belief. There's a believing. The believing is one. So you believe. And you're speaking from that premise of believing. You're not just speaking from an empty no. You're speaking from the premise of the believing. You believe it. But then you continue to say it because you believe it. You continue to say it until you see it. And that's where the devil flaws most of us. Because when I say it for like 10, 12 times or 30, I say, Abegi, this one's safe. Do we even know whether it's going to happen? And I'm tired. Can't say again. The devil knows that our fuse is short. Short. Very short. So he takes advantage. But you must continue to say until you see it. Until you see it. And that takes me to number two of fundamentals of faith. It is vital to act on the word of faith and not be a hearer only. It is vital, number two, to act on the word of faith. Let's go to Mark 5. It's vital to act on the word of faith. Mark 5:25, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5:25. I think I'll read it from my phone. Mark 5:25. Yeah. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You know, we have a tendency of just reading scripture and just glossing over. This thing that was just captured in like three verses and all of that, there's a lot in there. This woman had a flu. In Israel at that time, if you had a flu, ordinary menstrual flu, you could not go to the temple. You were considered as unclean. Unclean. So imagine this person for 12 years has been considered unclean. You could not just be moving about anyhow. But it says that she heard about Jesus. When she heard, she didn't sit at home and say, I can't come out. You know, if they see me out now, what will happen? She damned all consequences. That's what it is. She damned it, all consequences, and said, this one, When she heard, she went, she wasn't supposed to be out there. She wasn't supposed to be in the crowd. She was not supposed to be. She was supposed to be confined to her house because she had a flu. So she wasn't supposed to be mingling around and milling around people. No. But when she heard, she just did not hear only. She took a step that could have costed her a lot. That could have costed her a lot. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only, she said it to herself. So even before she left the house, she had already received her healing. Because in her mind, she had processed it. There's a scripture that talks about hearing of you with the hearing of the ears. But now my eyes have seen you. So this one I have heard. I have heard a lot. How he used to do miracles. How he used to heal the sick. How he used to heal the lame. I heard. I said, if he can do all of that, then that means he can work for me too. So before she left the house, she had already received her healing. She just said, okay, let us go now. And in her mind, she said, I don't need him to lay hands on me. No, for what? No need now. Let me just touch something on his body. Finish. Let me just touch. Mm-mm. The hem of his garment is okay. Whole garment, him. Hand is too much. What is hand? I don't need hand. let me just be able to touch something. But that touch was a powerful touch. Because immediately he touched, the fountain of blood dried up. Jesus himself knew somebody had touched him. Jesus knew. That person was she was intentional. She was intentional. She was saying to herself, today not today. Today is today. So it is vital to act. She did not just hear and sit down. She took a step. Like I said, that step could have costed her a lot. Because if they had seen, and I think, you know, when you are, even menstrual flow, there's something you wear. So when they finish menstrual flow, they have a bath and change into something else. So there was something that, you know, that this woman is not supposed to be. But she went ahead. So it is vital to act on the word of faith and not be a hearer only. And James talks about that. He said, do not be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. That's James 1. James 2. Let's look at James 2. James 2 talks about faith without works is dead. So a lot of us have faith. We don't have works. And somebody say, works. If you are doing works, are we not going into the game of, you know, works? No. Let's look at James 2. So it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith is dead on arrival because it doesn't have works. Not to say DOA. It's dead on arrival because there's no works. There's nothing backing my faith up. I say I have faith. What's the evidence that I have faith? So it's DOA. On arrival, it is dead. It's dead. It's dead. Faith must have corresponding action. You can't say you believe and not do anything. Fundamental of faith number two. And here, talking about the woman, I'm sure in her mind, before she left her house, she said, it's not possible I come back the same way I'm leaving this house today. You know, we say that now. We even pray that in church, that we should not leave the same. But a lot of us don't even care. Whether you go back the same way, you don't come back, it doesn't even matter. If we are going to church, we are going to church. You don't need a church. Yeah, we are just going to church. When they say, did you go to church? I say, yes, I went to church. Abi, it's Sunday morning. But this woman in her mind had said to herself, today is today. She went to church, yes. She knew she was going to, yes. She was going to church. She was going to church. And she was not going, it was not play. It was not a play matter. Uh-uh, it was not. Serious business. Serious business. So, faith has to be acted upon. Faith has to be acted upon. Let's go back to Mark 11. I want to show you something there. I want to show you something. Verse 24. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It took me a while to get this. It says, when you pray, believe that you receive them. It didn't say, believe you will receive them. It didn't say, believe you will receive. Is that what it said? So, meaning that before you pray, and like we say here, get an assurance of what you are praying about, that it is the will of God. And as you are praying, it is not a case of, I don't know how you put it. You know, a lot of us say, we are praying, we are believing God. No, believing God is not a, how do I want to put it? It's not an, I want to use one word. We have turned believing God into
and a never-ending matter. And of course, it's never-ending. Don't misunderstand me. It's never-ending because until we see him, we will continue to believe. But when it comes to issues, say, we're believing God. We are believing God. Is we're quick to say, we are believing God. It says when you pray, believe that you receive them. So as I'm praying, I'm just praying, you know, for the sake of, in fact, I may not pray because this is what it says in 23. I may just say it and say, I have it. It is not I will receive it. I will receive it has turned into hope. So what we are doing is seeing is believing. No, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. It's not I will have it. I have it. I am waiting for physical manifestation, and it has to manifest because I have something backing my prayer. It is not I will. It took me a while. Well, I was just saying, no, wait to. You say, because you must believe that you have it before you have it. If you don't believe you have it, you will not have it. Do you understand me? You must believe you have it as you are praying. If you don't believe you have it, you will not have it. You will not. And that is where most of us get stuck. Because we want to see first. Say seeing is believing. No, that's not scripture. In the kingdom, believing is seeing. So it says when you pray, whatever things you ask. So I asked for a car. When they ask me, do you have a car? I said, yes, I have a car. I won't say, yes, the car is coming. No. Okay. I have a car. Do you have a car? Yes, I have a car. I'm not saying, I'm trusting God for what? You are not trusting God. You are in unbelief. You are in complete unbelief. I have a car. And you describe the car down to the last details. I have a car. I am not trusting God. Believe. I have a car. I have it. You cannot see. That is what they say faith is. That's what faith is in 11:1. Titled it. You cannot, and I wanted to bring a Bible. I left this in the office. I thought it was not useful. But, you know, a version of the. Do we have TLB? Do we have, I didn't say NLT, TLB. We have TLB. Display TLB for 11:1 for me in TLB. Hebrews 11:1. Display Hebrews 11:1 in TLB. Okay, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. Though we cannot see it up ahead. Though I can't see it with my physical eyes, I can see it in my spirit, man. I know that my car is here. I am just waiting for the process to everything to conclude. So, you don't, when you believe, before, so if you understand, if you know that you are not certain yet, you are not sure whether God wants you to have it, don't go into the place of prayer. Be sure first. Put it together. Put it together. Meditate on the scriptures. Infuse your heart with some faith before you pray. If you are not sure that God wants you to have it, leave it for now. Until you are very sure. So when you are sure, you go to the place of prayer. And as you are praying, because that woman in Mark 5, like I said, before she left the house, she already received her healing. She already received it. She was just going to get the physical manifestation. So, it is important when you pray, believe that you receive. So it applies to healing as well. You know, somebody saying, pastor prayed for me, but the headache is still there.
before pastor even prayed for you, maybe you are just, in fact, it should be say, you it should be like you are just telling pastor, I just need you to lay hands on me. Don't even say anything, no. Don't say any word. Just lay hands and I'm good, I'm going. So you will not say, I was praying. In fact, and that's what we do. Say, if my body boy prayed for me, and this person prayed for me, you are in unbelief. You do not have any faith at all. Because your healing is not in those men that are praying for you. Your healing is in you yourself. Believing the word of God. And, you know, speaking that word. And speaking that word. I am healed. I believe I receive it. And I was listening to, I don't know who I was listening to. And was not saying, you know, like I said, you believe it. So I believe for a car. I can't see the car. So you are not saying, today I say I believe I receive my car. Tomorrow I will say I believe I receive my car. Because faith is now. Don't forget that. Faith is now. Faith is not, no, when it's like it turns to hope. Faith is now. So every new day, I believe I receive. I thank you for, yes, I thank you. I thank you for my car. I believe I receive it. It's not, I'm trusting you for, please let's stop using that Christianese language. I believe I receive. I believe I receive my house. My house in fact, everything is set. I am just waiting for the physical manifest. I believe I receive it. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. I believe it. I believe you. I believe your word. I believe I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I may not be able to see it with my physical eyes right now, but I know it is present. I believe I receive it. 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 I receive what Jesus bought and paid for me. Everything. I receive it. I believe it and I receive it. Hallelujah. Number three. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Verse 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So I was talking about healing. So if you are prayed for, you lay hands on yourself and it looks like everyone, you just continue to speak it. Jesus himself took away my infirmities. I believe and I receive my healing. I am healed. I was healed, therefore I am healed. So you continue to say it until you see a total eradication of whatever issue it is. Because I think I left that hanging. I left it hanging. You just continue to say it. I believe I receive it. I receive my healing. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I was healed. If I was healed now, I am healed. I am made whole. I am made whole from the crown of... You just continue, you know, faith confessions. Confessions of faith. You just continue to say it. Hallelujah. So, I said faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. That's fundamental number three. It will not work. That's what the scripture says. It will just not work. Because it says, you know, it's a continuum from verse 24. You are reading it up to. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. It is an order. It is not whether you want to, you feel like it or not. No, I've talked about feeling this evening. It's a command. It's an order. If you are in unforgiveness, faith will not work. Galatians 5:6 talks about faith working through love. So it's important for us to know that if you're in unforgiveness, faith will not work. Very important. It will negate your faith. It will negate everything. Faith will not work. And like I said, it is an order. It is a command. It is not whether you want or you feel like. I don't feel like forgiving. Do you know what he did? I don't feel like I'm not in that place yet. I'm not in that place yet. Forgiving is not processing it. Continue processing. When you finish processing, then you go back to God and pray. While you are processing, just stay away, because it's just a waste of time. It will not work. So, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Hallelujah. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. I want to talk about, I'll just go back. I talked about words, and I want us to begin to place emphasis on how we speak and what we speak. It's very important. It's very important. And I need you, even when you get home, to go do some, maybe do some study on words, power of words, use of words. I remember when we were growing up that, you know, have you heard this thing they used to say, if somebody says it has a, Yoruba, they used to call this a foshe or something like that. Ashe. Say somebody has ashe in their mouth. Has anybody heard that before? It's like as if it is just some people that have it. Everybody has ashe in their mouth. Everybody has ashe. Like I said, the only problem is that devil has robbed us off. So we do not place emphasis on our words. We do not place emphasis on our words. We need to begin to believe that everything we say will come to pass. And if you believe that, that will put you on a leash. Because you'll be careful what you say. But all of us don't want to go through that discipline of watching what we say. We just want to talk. You know. But as spiritual beings, we need to pay a lot of attention to what we say. So in rounding up, I go back to Mark 5. I've said three things about fundamentals of faith. Believe it and say it. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. You must say it. You must say it. Even when you pray, because it talks about praying in 24, even when you pray, you still must say it. Sometimes, you know, you may not even have to, you know, kneel down and pray. I remember we were saying something in the house. Maybe last year, we were trying to do something. And we had discussed it. And I was waiting for us to pray. You know, I was telling him, we have not prayed though. We have not been saying now, but we have talked about it now. So it's okay. Sometimes, you really don't, because there are some, you get into some spaces and you do not have this, you're not in that space where you want to, Father, you say it. But even when you pray, you must still say it. It's called confession of faith. You must still say it. So if you are, like I said, pray for something, when you still rise up from the place of prayer, you must still say it. You must still say it. Mark 5. Go back to Mark 5. I'm rounding up with Mark 5. So I said, fundamental number one, and these things don't change. This foundation of faith. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Act on the word of God. There's no two ways about that. You must act. There must be an action. Your action may just be the confessing only, but there must be something that you are doing, that you want to do to show, you know, that you are acting. And then faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. But I want to show us four things from that Mark 5. Mark 5:25. We're just going to look at what that woman did. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. But verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus. So she heard. She was preached to. People were talking around her. Whatever it is she heard, she believed it. Because it was on the premise of that she did what she did. So she heard, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. So I said, believe and say it. So she believed it and she said it. She believed it and she said it. She believed it and she said it. She heard. She believed what she heard. But she now said, she said to herself, this person is doing all of this. If only I may touch. And she didn't stop at saying it. She actually took a step to touching the clothes. She took it. She did it. Number two, she did it. Like we have said, you must act on the word. So she did it. It was not only hearing. I heard. Wow, fantastic. Fantastic. Miracle worker, fantastic. I said, if this person can do this, then he can do something for me. She said to herself. And then she took a step and went after what she heard. She did it. And of course, she was caught. She was caught. And as she even did it, immediately, she went silently. No, like Zacchaeus calling you from the, no. Was a crowd around, in the crowd. And she received her healing. Pam! She received it. And of course, she testified, because when she touched, and that testimony is important, she told it. That's why we say we should share testimony. Because the testimony also, again, the testimony, when something happens and you testify, it makes your faith stronger. Strengthens your faith. So, what did she do? Four things that she did, that woman. She believed and she said it. Foundation, fundamental one. Fundamental two, she did it. She just didn't mouth it and sit where she was. And it took, and don't forget, it took an effort, a big one, on her part to even go ahead and do it. A big effort. And of course, she received what she was looking for. She did. And she testified. Because when she got healed and everybody, Jesus was saying, who touched me? Of course, she had no choice but to come out. And she explained all that she had been through. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That's verse 34. Hallelujah. I want us to say some words this evening. Will you rise with me this evening? Just rise with me. Say after me this evening, I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. I am strong in the Lord and on the power of his might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I thank my God. I praise my God. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. Would you just go ahead and just give praise to God this evening? Father, we thank you. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and brings understanding to the simple. Father God, I ask that you expound the word, Lord, in the hearts of your children this evening. And Lord God Almighty, we grant us illumination. Illumination as to the topic of faith. Even as we go on in this series, grant us illumination as to the topic of faith. Yes, Father, grant us illumination. Grant us illumination that, Lord, we become grounded. We become grounded, rooted in you. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father, for the words that we speak. Just like Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. Help us to come to that understanding. Help us to come to that revelation that our words are spirit and they are life. Our words are spirit and they are life. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to watch what we say. Lord God Almighty, keep a guard on our mouths in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. For in Jesus' name we pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,